got the easiest name of all.
Okay, we're pleased to welcome back to see you at the show, Don Shandro from Coalescence Theater Project.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again, Don. And the reason why Linda and I wanted to talk to you today was because of an exciting project that's happening at Coalescence. There is a production of a two-person play, The Light, which is coming out next week. Is that right?
That's correct. It'll run for two weekends. It'll run for this next weekend, the 29th, 30th, and 31st, and then the weekend after that.
And it's available online?
Yes, yes. The tickets are available through ShowTix for You. And if you go onto the ShowTix for You site, ShowTixForYou.com, then you just type in Coalescence Theater and you'll be able to pull us up and just get a ticket. Tickets are pay what you can. And so they're different levels. So you can pay zero and still get in to see the show.
Great.
Yeah, we'll have the link to those to that ShowTix on See You at the Show Facebook page and on our website. We also, so is this one of those situations where it's not just available for streaming constantly, they're actually show times?
They're actually show times.
And what are those?
Those are going to be 7:30 on, like I say, on the 29th, 30th, and 31st. Actually, not 29th, I'm sorry, 30th, 31st of July, and then August 1st. And then I can't count back. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
That's okay. We'll have the dates on our Facebook page.
Good,
so can you tell us a little bit about The Light?
Yes. The Light is, for lack of a better explanation of it, it's a rom-com that turns sour. It's about a couple whose communication, it's really about the way men and women communicate, and communicate differently. Not to go too far into the story, because the expectation when you watch the show is that you're seeing a romantic comedy. There is a content advisory on the play that it does contain discussions of rape. That will eventually weave its way into the play. The play runs about 70 minutes actual time. And so it's like the audience is, for lack of a better term, a voyeur, watching this couple go through the relationship from the highest point to the lowest point that it can get within that 70 minute period of time.
Wow.
And what is your role with the show? Are you're producing it, is that right?
I'm producing it. I'm just making sure that all of the everything keeps on time and the wheels stay on the bus. So
right.
That's my job, and that everybody is satisfied with what Coalescence is doing to assist them produce the best quality show that they can.
How did Coalescence find this particular work?
We have a number of playwright advisory board members, and one of those playwright advisory board members is a playwright from Chicago named Reginald Edmond, and Reginald suggested the play to us, it at first was going to be a joint production between Black Voices, Black Lives, Black Words International Project and us. And he was in the middle of a production of Rideshare, which was recognized by the Wall Street Journal as being a high point in digital theater. And so we weren't able to, he was doing that with Writers Theater in Chicago. And so he wasn't able to work with us on it, and so we just took it and ran with it. We had a good cast, and then another one of our playwright advisory board members, Cherise Salem, was asked to come in and direct.
Can you tell us more about Cherise? We were hoping to get her on the show, but we weren't able to for this week. So
Cherise is a a playwright, director, producer, actor, choreographer from Delaware. And she is on our playwright advisory board. In fact, we're going to be doing one of her plays in later part of August, Daisies on Harlem's Doorstep, which is an award-winning play. It's won actually a several awards in production throughout the country. We're going to be doing a production of it in later part of August. We're also going to be taking Behind the Curtain of COVID, which was a production that we did streamed. We're going to do it live, a live version of a streamed play, which is kind of, which I kind of think is kind of meta.
Right. That's great.
But we're going to be doing that up in Chicago. We were invited to a theater festival. The Mandy Theater up in Chicago is doing that. And that's sponsored by the Mandy Theater and also by the Indian Consulate in Chicago to celebrate the 75th anniversary of independence from colonial rule of Britain.
Right.
Wow. Well, congratulations on being selected for that. That's wonderful. So Charisse is in Delaware, is that right?
Correct.
And so, and I know that the actor Gregory Hicks, who's playing Rashad, he's in Central Illinois, is that right?
He's in Bloomington. He's a Chicago actor. He's come back down to Bloomington to work on the show. Catherine Brown is from Bloomington. And so it's going to be done in a condo with just the actors and a small crew actually on site. So it's going to have that feel of taking place in somebody's home.
Right.
And it's going to have that feel that the audience is kind of this uninvited guest who is watching what's going on in this couple's life.
So is it going to just be shot once and then the same show is going to be replayed, or are you actually streaming it live each time?
Because we want to maintain the quality of the show, we're going to shoot it once. We'll probably do two different takes of the show, because the thing is, if you're doing a 70-minute show, it's actual time. It's going to have to be recorded all at once,
right?
Or it loses that immediacy. There's going to be two cameras. We work on StreamYard, where the screen manager can actually change the shots. So Yenvi Green is going to be our stage, she's our screen manager.
Screen manager. I'm excited about that. We know Yenvi and we've worked with her before, and a lot of our listeners will recognize her. So I was excited that you got her involved.
Yeah, I think she's been a stage manager 29 times, and this might be her first screen manager title.
Yeah,
so that's
it is, and she was a little bit concerned at first. But the thing is, it's a lot of what she does is no different than what a stage manager would do anyway.
Right.
Other than the fact that she's in what would be considered a studio room in the in StreamYard, controlling the shots.
That's exciting. I look forward to hearing how that goes for her. And can you tell us about the video editor and the intimacy director?
Dion McNeil is our video editor. He's also our technical director, he is the person who I reached out to when we had the pandemic. I'd worked with him before, and he has really kind of developed a digital style for us, and. I can't thank Dion enough for helping guide me through the whole area of digital theater, so that I know how all of this. I know enough of how these mechanics work now, working with Dion, that I feel comfortable with it. And the thing is, we have enough of a digital vocabulary that we can do digital theater. and we can bring in other screen editors and feel comfortable and confident doing that if Dion is not available.
Right.
And then we noticed that there is an intimacy director. And is that something that is common for you or Coalescence to use when there's physical issues or romantic intimacy issues?
This show really requires it. There's not only the physical intimacy of the show, but there is an emotional intimacy and an emotional shift and some emotional challenges that take place as well. An intimacy director was just absolutely, absolutely necessary for the show. It was one of the actors who asked to make sure that we were going to have an intimacy director as well.
Right.
But the thing is, it makes a lot of sense for the nature of this particular show.
And is her name Jerika Guest?
Is she somebody that Coalescence has known, or did you find her specifically for this show?
We had to find her specifically for the show. The intimacy directors that I know were all busy. Actually she's a friend of Charissa's from Chicago. She's been coming in virtually to work with the actors.
Right.
And is that what Charissa is also directing virtually?
She's directing virtually as well.
So but the actors are there in person?
The actors are there in person.
We've covered a lot of different styles of dealing with virtual productions in COVID, but this is kind of a new one, actually, to have it be actors together, but directors apart. How's that working?
It's working fine. The director needs to see how the stage picture looks, where the screen picture looks. And so if I'm phoning in from out of the area, I still am able to see how the show is looking, what the stage picture looks like. And I'm still able to adjust the actors so that they stay within the stage area. And so that they can still be seen by the audience. It really isn't a lot different than directing actors from stage. I mean, how difficult is it for a director who sits in an audience separated from the actors to get that message across to the actors? And I don't think it's any more difficult than somebody explaining it virtually.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah, I love how you're able to do all of this. And I'm really excited that you're using an intimacy director. I've worked with some in the past, and I really wish more local theaters would kind of get on board and for intimacy directors. I know there's not a lot of them around yet that are working, but
it's ironic that if there's a fight, of course they're going to have a fight director, fight choreographer, but they won't necessarily do it with these really hard emotional and physical things that are probably way more difficult for the actors.
And I've been advocating that the high schools and younger should be using this too. I mean, especially when you're using younger kids, sometimes they don't have somebody most of the time they don't have any. We haven't heard of anyone using an intimacy director at the high school level.
Right. And I've got multiple family members whose first kiss of their lives happened on a high school rehearsal.
Right.
so I mean, yeah, that is an important thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, Don, one of the things that really drew us to Coalescence was all of the commitment to inclusiveness and diversity and involving Black actors. And in this case, is Loy Webb, I assume, is he a Black playwright?
She's a Black playwright from Chicago. And she's on the board of Black Lives, Black Words International Project.
Okay, we need to familiarize ourselves with them. Coalescence has worked with them in the past?
We've done Reginald Edmonds' works before, and we're actually gonna be doing a Black Lives, Black Words showcase in October. And that'll be all produced and directed and everything by Black talent.
Great.
So it's and Catherine Brown will be the curator slash producer of that. So it's going to be an exciting project. It's a 10-minute it is a 10-minute play festival, and we're going to be doing 6 10-minute plays, and the prompt for the plays is, do Black lives still matter?
Wow, that sounds
so
great.
With that prompt, then you're going to get the 10-minute, we're getting the submissions of the 10-minute plays.
Right.
And we've asked specifically for plays that will work digitally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Well, congratulations on everything Coalescence is doing and achieving and making incredible efforts for theater at large, but especially right here in Central Illinois. So
we hope we're making an impact here in Central Illinois.
Well, you're making an impact on us, and I hope our listeners watch. And
we're trying to bring that to the local theater companies here that we're involved with, because everybody is writing nice mission statements, but it's time to do some work, and that's what Coalescence is all about. So we admire that very, very much.
There's a thought leader whose works are important to Coalescence, and that's Esther Arma. And she has a belief in what's called emotional justice. And she wrote an article during the height of what happened after George Floyd, and it was called Statementism and Tweakonomics. It's where theaters and companies would make, they'll all say the right kind of words, and that was their statementism. But then they would practice what was called tweakonomics, where they would just massage around the edges, make enough changes so it looked like they were making change, and not really making any kind of internal changes within their companies.
Right, and we kind of talked about this before we started recording, but I love what I've seen on Facebook from people involved with Coalescence talking about family. So you can tell that it's not just lip service, that you get people involved and people want to come back and be involved in other things. And you really work on those relationships. And that's so important.
It's part of our DNA as a company. It's where we started. It's how we started. And it is something I hope is going to stay with the company forever. It's a culture that I think is going to stay with the company forever. We're not built on a typical foundation that a theater company is built on. My hope is that eventually the Coalescence, when we do have a facility, that the facility will be a community center and not a regular type of theater. I think I talked to you about that the last time we spoke.
Right. I think that's really important. And it makes us kind of think outside the theater box, that it's so easy to kind of stay inside of when we talk about our local theater. So
right.
We appreciate your thoughts.
Because I was going to say, I bet that your culture will stay the same. And that's one of the things that's difficult, is that cultures do tend to stay the same. And so it's changing the culture in 99% of the other theater sort of organizations and companies. That's rough, because we hear the stories here about the show they did back in the 70s that was inclusive, and how they tried to get Black actors, but they just didn't show up. And it's just like, it needs to be sustained. It needs to be meaningful and real, and not just one show every 10 years.
That whole idea of, but they didn't show up.
Right.
Is a relationship problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What it means is that the company has not made the effort to reach out into the community and make those kinds of relationships that are necessary in order to have an environment that does invite and that is actually inclusive. Sometimes we find it hard finding white actors.
That's great.
But the thing is, the white actors who work with us, they often play negative roles, but they want to come and they want to work with us, because they get a chance to work with directors of color, and they get to work with other actors and actors who are of color.
Right.
Well, I would certainly be interested in participating some. So I look forward to staying abreast of all of the Coalescence postings, and you're doing so many amazing things. And we're definitely going to keep talking about you here on See You at the Show. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Bye, Don.
Bye-bye, Don.
Well, I was driving along in my car when suddenly the radio sounded bizarre. Well, I thought finding the radio can be fun. The frequency, I think it was 90.1. Well, on your dial, that's pretty far to the left. And then the DJ came on and said it was weft. Well, I drove straight home and I swear my life just isn't the same. Since I called in and they took down my pledge and they took down my name at WEFT. WEFT.
listening to WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM. This has been the WEFT Gert.